You know, this year, the year 2020, has made us aware of things that we haven't considered much in the past. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly more aware of my own health. I feel less confident about the future than I did a year ago, both for myself and for our nation. And I reflect constantly on how so many of us are experiencing really profound insecurity and uncertainty, which is a way of saying that I think 2020 has probably made all of us much more conscious about how we experience risk. And when I speak of risk, I'm really not talking about physical danger. COVID-19 is certainly urgently dangerous. Life in general can be dangerous. There were 70 million people in the United States last year who required medical attention for accidents. But the risk I'm really thinking of is the fear of getting the future wrong, of making the wrong choices, of being criticized for bad judgment. And the concern is that this kind of risk can cause us to miss important opportunities and can paralyze us into inaction. Now, it sounds easy to talk about this in the abstract, but it's hard, at least it's hard for me, to admit how difficult it is to deal with risk and uncertainty and to make the right choice. So, small example for me personally is the story of how I came to be here today worshiping with you. Those of you who are familiar with the story of my faith know that for the first half of my adult life, I was a committed atheist. And then I found faith, and that presented a very scary choice. What do I do about it? Should I explore how to join and become active in a faith community? Was that the right choice? And if it was, which faith community? I was afraid of being criticized both by my atheist friends and rejected by the community that I chose to join. So for me, the safe choice would have been no choice. Live with my new faith by myself. Instead, finally, I called a dear friend of mine who was a member of Christ Church Episcopal in Alexandria and asked her, "Will you take me to church with you?" Probably everyone here today can tell a similar story about themselves. One contemporary common example is the opportunity to do something about racism in our community and our nation. There are risks all around in considering racism. People of color risk rejection by articulating their reality. Whites are deeply uneasy about being judged for denying or being dismissive of that reality. For all sides, there's risk. And for many whites, at least, the status quo may seem like a safer choice, but that risk is set against the possibility of real progress and healing. Understanding this aspect of risk, the fear of making bad life choices, is one of the points in today's gospel reading from Matthew. If you read, now, the passage in Matthew can have many different meanings. If you read the passage in Matthew together with the Old Testament reading that we just heard from Zephaniah and Psalm 90 and the first letter to the Thessalonians, one potential theme is that the time available to each of us to answer God's call can be unexpectedly short. So live life accordingly. As the epistle says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Yet another possibility, which is sort of weird, is that Matthew chapter 5 is some weird pan to the prophet motive and the biblical foreshadowing of the idea that you can judge the state of the community by looking at the Dow Jones Industrial Index. That, of course, is not the intent of the passage. The entirety of Scripture makes clear that, quoting from Paul in 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith. So to me, in the context of what we're thinking about today, it seems clear that the money mentioned in the passage in Matthew is simply a metaphor for benefit or gain. Parables were an important literary technique at the time of writing the Bible, arising out of the oral storytelling tradition. Metaphors were used to give the audience something they could easily relate to, like the story about myself that I just told you earlier in the sermon. So under this interpretation, what Jesus is teaching in the parable is that all improvement, all betterment, involves taking a risk. And even more important, God expects us to take that risk, because God has supplied each of us with gifts and the ability to use them to love and serve him. Now, talents were a unit of money in the biblical world. In this case, they're the metaphor for the natural abilities that God has given us, each of us. A good singing voice, doing math easily, keen eyesight, a love of art. So don't get confused. These innate abilities I just mentioned are also in English called talents. But the words are not the same in Greek, in which the New Testament was written. Here we're talking about God's gifts to each of us, not money. Unique gifts. We didn't all get the same gifts, but we all need to seek to use them as God intended, not to bury them in a field for fear of making the wrong choice. Scripture makes clear that even if we are inspired to take chances, to pursue something new, we're not always going to succeed. As it's written in Ecclesiastes, when you dig a well, you may fall in. Indeed, when you think about it, God doesn't always succeed with us. We are given free will, and as a result, we sometimes fail to accept God's love so freely given. And yet, God never gives up on us. He continues to take a risk on us. The theologian Thomas J. Ord has a really lovely phrase for this. He calls it God's divine gamble. A gamble on which he bet his only son. It can't be denied that in making choices, we may be also giving up things that we have now, things that we're comfortable and familiar with, like white privilege. Jesus is honest about this in Luke chapter 14. There, in the translation of the Bible called The Message, Jesus says, "Simply put, if you're not willing to take what's dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple." So no wonder that we're sometimes frozen into inaction by the seeming cost of choosing the wrong thing. By the way, it may also be the case that the stakes being portrayed in today's gospel reading were actually huge. The Greek manuscript clearly uses the word talent to describe the money left with the servants. Now, in most modern translation of the Bible, that's assumed to mean a few valuable coins. But in Jesus' time, a talent was literally 130 pounds of pure silver, worth about $50,000 today. Best scholars can figure back then a talent would have been the entire annual income of 50 or more average laborers, a whole village. So even if the word talent itself is a metaphor, the parable may be intended to be an example of choices with enormous consequences and with enormous downsides, but choices which must nevertheless be faced. So how do we find the strength, the courage, the conviction to make the right choices about life, especially when we suspect that God is calling us, but the risks seem so large? So I can share two answers that have helped me the past 6 months. First, ask God for help. Pray. I know that seems to be a message that we've repeated in sermons throughout this church year. The power of prayer is one of the year A lectionary themes. Remember Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And second thought, use your support group. And yeah, you do have a support group. Look around you. Look at your fellow parishioners. Here we are, all of us sitting next to each you. We are your support group and you're part of ours. We are all facing choices, and many of us are facing the same choices. Think about all the choices that Holy Cross has faced this year. Could we continue to worship and provide pastoral care in the face of the virus? Could we stay connected to each other? Could we search for and call a priest in charge? Could we find a way to continue spiritual formation virtually? could we understand the need to address racism and to commit to change. So I, for one, am proud that we understood as a parish the need to make these choices and that we made them. Now, true, there are other choices that are still before us, especially in the area of the budget, but the point is here at Holy Cross, there is a community of Christians learning how to make the best choices for themselves as well as for our small part of the community of God. As we head into Advent, the season of preparation, I invite each of us to spend a moment this week taking stock of the choices before us individually, as a parish, as a community, and as a nation, and to ask, how can we, the people of Holy Cross, do a better job of taking a risk for God? Amen.